And if it's usually just one verse or two verses, I'll write it down and read it from my notes so we don't have to flip back and forth. But I want to read several verses there in 1 Peter chapter 3, so I figure we could just all flip over there easier. I could write those all that many verses, but obviously we appreciate prayer. We take advantage of prayer. On Sunday mornings in Sunday school, I know we share the prayer requests, and of course, obviously it's kind of, I guess, cozy and unique and so forth. But obviously, as our church grows and things like that, we get more and more and more. And so, Brother Raji put them on those sheets for us, and that way we can keep them and pray for them during the week and things like that. So let's not obviously, just because it's on a piece of paper now instead of hearing it every time, let's not pray for it. So let's take advantage of that. And so last week we talked about a successful prayer life and what it would produce. And we ought to have, try to be successful in our prayer life. Again, I've heard, people say, man, I prayed for hours. And so, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I'll try that. And, you pray for everything you can think of, and you look at your clock. I don't wear a watch anymore, but because you got your phone. But anyway, you look at the clock or you look at your phone, and you've been praying 10 minutes. And you're like, how can they pray an hour? And things like that. So anyway, it's not a competition. It's not, that person can get a hold of God. And, there are some things that can keep us from getting a hold of God. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. But we're all, God's no respecter of persons. I've heard of prayer chains. I've heard of, prayer requests. When there's something serious, life threatening, I think it's Victory Baptist something. It's got like a website that you can put like your special services on there, and there's a place for prayer requests, things like that. So I know there's a lot of people that use that kind of stuff, and there's a National Day of Prayer and things like that. And so I'm for it in any shape, form or fashion. I'm all for praying. And we ought to try to be successful, and that's what we saw last week. And if we are successful, it will produce some things in our life. But what we're going to look at tonight is what hinders our prayers. And there are some things, and some of these I have obviously preached or taught or read, things like that. Some of them, as I was studying, I was like, oh, I forgot about that one, or I didn't even think about that, and things like that. So there are things, according to the Bible, that can hinder our prayers, and so we're going to look at those tonight. But in John 11:41, we're going to see a prayer of Jesus, and of course, nothing hinders Jesus' prayer because He's sinless. Some of these things that we're going to look at tonight, if we allow them to stay in our life, they are sin. Sin is one of them. But Jesus, obviously, he doesn't have anything that hinders his life. And of course, in this story, he's been traveling, and Lazarus had been dead, and so they were a little upset with him when he got there. If you'd have just been here, you could have healed him, and so forth. And Jesus, obviously, was not concerned with that. He told them, I appreciate your faith and I appreciate your prayers, things like that, but we can still do something about it and so forth. And so we see here in verse 41, it says here, and then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Of course, this was Lazarus. And it says here, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And so he's talking to God, and before he even says, Lazarus, come forth, he thanks God for hearing him. Of course, pray without ceasing is probably one of Jesus' practices when he was down here on earth. And we saw that last week. A successful prayer life is one of those that prays without ceasing and tries to always communicate with God and always allow him involved in everything that you're doing and so forth. But we see here that Jesus thanks the Lord that he heard me. And so I've heard preachers pray this. I've heard other people pray this. Lord, I want to just go ahead and thank you, first of all, that you know what's going on. This is not a surprise. We're not catching you off guard here with our prayer and things like that. And God, you've already thought about how you're going to answer it. I just want to go ahead and give you, forewarning or forethankfulness and so forth. But Jesus knew God heard him, and there wasn't anything that was going to hinder it. Now, some of us, we might pray, including myself, we might pray and like, I hope that got through. I pray, and maybe it snuck in there and so forth. Maybe we're not as confident with the fact where, but Jesus said, thank you for hearing me. Because he knew that there was nothing that was going to hinder that prayer. As soon as he prayed it, it was going to be in the throne room, in front of deity. It was going to make it all the way. We've all heard, you know, our prayers didn't make it past the ceiling, or we boing, 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 it didn't make it. Because there are things that hinder our prayers. And that's what we're going to do, is look at some biblical hindrances. So if God's going to hear our prayer, that we are, we heard, I made this statement last week, if God hears prayers and God answers prayers, then why are we in such a mess? So that was a statement we talked about last week. And if you look in, you know, some Christians' personal lives, a mess. If you look in some Christian homes, a mess. If you look in some churches around, with all the bickering and the fighting and the, you know, this, that, and others, mess. Obviously, you can see it on the news and you can see it out and about, the mess our country's in, in the entire world. So if God hears and answers prayer, then why are we in a mess? Because there's some of them that are not getting through. They're not making contact. There's some type of, you know, hindrance and so forth. If you have a loss of power, you start troubleshooting. You go to the switch. We had some switches going a little bonkers back here. And, you could flip them, and sometimes it works, sometimes not. So praise the Lord, they got fixed, amen. And now they're there. And the troubleshooting was, let's try the switches first, and that was it. So praise the Lord. So what you do if there's something not connecting, if there's something not going on like it's supposed to, let's fix it. So if prayer works and God answers prayers, then why are all these things in the mess? The answer is this: either people aren't praying, or there's something hindering their prayers. And so a lot of times, the reason there's personal issues and there's home issues and church issues and country issues and world issues is people have maybe given up, or they just don't want to pray anymore, or what's the use? So they're not praying. Why? Because we know it's not a God issue, and it's not His ability to answer the prayer issue. So it's either they're not going up, or there's something that's not connecting, there's a hindrance. So not only do we need to say the right thing when we pray, but we need to be right. That's important as well. Because a lot of people, you'll go witness and say, hey, have you ever prayed and asked Jesus Christ? Oh, I pray all the time. As they hiccup on their beer. Or, oh, I pray all the time. As they're on fire for Jesus. Or blankety, blankety, blank, I pray all the time. Or you see other sin involvements. Oh, I pray all the time. Well, I hate to break it to you, but it's probably not making it, okay? Why? Because it's just as important to pray, and our prayer should be going up, and we should say the right thing when we're talking to God, but we also have to be right. That's important. So we need to be concerned about having God hear our prayers. If our prayers are not being answered, the Bible is the best place to look to see why. And so if anybody had, and I know I have as well, I wonder if God heard that. Because I didn't know if I was 100% right. And so forth. So what happens, or what hinders our prayer? First one, you can write these verses down if you'd like to. But the first one we're going to talk about is found in Job 35. Job 35 verses 12 and 13. Job 35 verses 12 and 13. This is the first thing that hinders our prayer. And it's that little word, pride. Pride. And we're going to see it right here. And it says in Job 35, 12 and 13, there they cry, but none giveth answer. So they're praying. I mean, they're crying out in prayer. But this verse says there's no answer coming. And the next four words is this: because of the pride. Because of the pride of evil men, surely God will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it. So if we're full of pride and we're praying a prayer, it's boinga, 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 off the ceiling. It's not going to make connection because of pride. And another verse where it gives examples of prayers of pride is found in Luke 18. Luke 18, verses 11 through 14. So in Job, we see here, God says, They were crying. They were praying. But because of that pride, my ears were plugged. I was not going to answer them. It was all vanity. It was, I'm not even going to regard it. And so where this actually came to fruition is found in Luke 18:14. This is, as here, we should pray with humility, not pride. And God gives us an example here in Luke. It says in verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed, and check these three words out. He prayed thus with himself. In other words, God was nowhere to be found. He was saying the right things. He was in the right position. All right, he was in the right place. He was at the temple. All, you know, God, check. Temple, check. Words, check. But it just stopped with himself. He didn't allow God in the mix. He was just saying words and so forth. So we see here, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And here's what he said. God, I thank thee that I... So this is why God wasn't there. Because all he's going to do is talk about himself. And he says, God, I thank thee, so said the right words, that I am not like other men. You know, other men don't deserve to pray, but I can. I'm not like other men. I've got it all together. I'm not like other men. I know how to live. I know how to act. And I've made all the right decisions. So I'm not like other men are. It says here, they're extortioners, they're unjust, they're adulterers. So I haven't extorted anything, I haven't done anything wrong, and I haven't committed adultery. And then he says right here, even as this publican. So here's the Pharisee standing up, looking up into heaven, telling God what he wants to tell him, not asking God anything. And the publican's over here, basically on his face, in a humble state, beating on his chest, saying, you know, I'm not worthy to even talk to you, God. And we're going to see which one God hears. The Pharisee standing up and all boisterous, saying, I'm not like all these other people. I don't cuss. I don't drink. I don't this. I don't that. I've got it all together. I'm super Christian. So, God, you've got to answer my prayer. Boing, boing, boing. God, I'm just a wicked sinner. Hell deserving. Don't even deserve to talk to you. But I just want to please ask you something. Key. Don't tell, ask. Those of you that have kids, your kid will get a whole lot further down the road if they ask you something rather than telling you something. Mom, get in there and cook me some snacks. Yeah, I'll get right to that, honey. Right. I want some brownies. You'll be lucky to get a Cheez-It. You know, they don't tell you, Mom, I love you. You're so pretty. You're so smart. Can I please have some brownies? They might get some. Okay? But if they say, woman, get in there and cook me some brownies. It's not happening. Dad, buy me some this or buy me one of those. Because you're supposed to take care of your kids. That's what I'm saying. We see here one telling God, I don't sin, I don't do this, I don't do that, I'm not like this old guy. The other guy, he was wicked. So then the publican goes on. I'm not like this publican that's trying to pray to you either. Verse 12 says this, I fast twice a week, by the way. I give tithes of all my possessions. Okay? So now he's not only telling God, he's giving his resume. I don't go to God and say, you know, I read that Bible and I try to pastor this church and I this. No. God, hell deserving. Don't even deserve to even be able to pray to you. But thank you. That's what I'm saying. We have to keep that in perspective. So pride, definitely a way to hinder our prayers. And this Pharisee was telling him, I fast twice a week, I give tithes. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much his eyes to heaven. So here's this Pharisee, telling God, and the publican got his head bowed and eyes closed. humility. So he wouldn't even lift up as much as his eyes to heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse 14, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself. I tithe, I fast, I'm not like these people. Everyone that exalteth himself shall abase, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So here, first thing that will hinder our prayers is pride. Pride. We don't tell God. We ask God. And so again, so their God was in their minds, these Pharisees. In other words, just like that verse said, and he prayed thus with himself. In other words, this was his God. All right? He had decided, I don't do wrong, I do right. And right here, I'm not like these other people. So right here is where it stayed. All right. So he decided it right and wrong. He decided was with what he would do and what he wouldn't do. I do this and I don't do that. God of his mind. He decided what God can and what God can't do. God, you can do this and you don't need to do that. Right here. He decided how he would live. So a Pharisee was proud and boastful, and he didn't need God. He had all the intellectualness that he needed. I, kind of like Satan in Isaiah. I will be like the Most High. I will ascend. So he intellectually, he didn't need God. Physically, you know, he's standing up all boastful and proud. He didn't need God physically. Spiritually, I do this and I do that. So we see here his lifestyle was based on his own standards, not God's standards. He came to the temple with the pretense of prayer. I'm going down to the temple to pray. But he did not pray to God. He prayed with himself, the Bible says. Prayer is asking God something, not telling God something. So he had a problem, like Satan did. So God resists the proud, the Bible says in James 4:6. So when he came to God and entered into the Holy of Holies and entered into the presence of deity, he got rejected. But the one that was humble went home and God took care of him. So pride definitely hinders our prayers. So number one, pride hinders our prayers. Number two, this is found in Proverbs 28:9. Proverbs 28:9. The second thing that will hinder our prayers is disobedience. So kind of like Heavenly Father, earthly child, mom and dad at home, kid at home, the kid will get a lot further down the road by asking nicely than telling you. Same thing here. How about a kid that's disobedient? They got in trouble at school all day long. They come home, didn't do their homework, didn't do their chores, and then they want to ask you to take them to Chuck E. Cheese. All right? Probably not happening. Hey, you said you would take me to Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah, that was before getting a pink slip at school, disobeying when you got home, not doing what you were told. And so why would I give you what you were asking me for because of the disobedience? The principle is found in Proverbs 28:9. It says right here, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. So when God tells us what to do in that book and we go, I'm not doing that. That's ridiculous. And he's like, you know, if you think that's ridiculous and you're not going to do it, why should I answer your prayer? Same way with a kid. I'm not doing my chores. I'm not doing my homework. I'm not obeying you. That's ridiculous. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. You know, I don't need a mom. I don't need a dad. Take me to Chuck E. Cheese. I mean, that's an abomination. You're not going to talk to me like that and then tell me to take you to Chuck E. Cheese. That's what God's saying. Abomination's a pretty strong word. It's not like, well, I just don't like that. I dislike it. Now, that upsets me a little bit. And that kind of gets on my nerves. No, he said, if I pray to him and I'm not obeying him, that's an abomination to him, he says. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. So God is saying, how dare you or us live like you want to, ignore what I say in the Bible, and then expect me to answer your prayer? Again, kind of same way of kid. expecting his parents to do nice things for him when he can't obey. So what we say is, okay, if you go to your room, tomorrow you obey at school, tomorrow you do your homework, tomorrow you obey and do your chores and you do what I say, then we might talk about some Chuck E. Cheese. Oh, do they have Chuck E. Cheese up here? All right, good. All right. And my grandson, that's where he wanted to go for his birthday, Jay. And I think yesterday it was their first day of school. And I think these things that they post now, little boards, and you write on them or whatever. Lily had one, you know, my first day of school when I grew up, I want to be a doctor. And Jay's was, my first day of school when I grew up, I want to be a pirate. Okay. He wants to be a pirate. But anyway, he got to go to Chuck E. Cheese for his birthday. But anyway, you get the point. If a kid doesn't demand his parent to take him somewhere, especially if he's not going to obey. So a good prayer life must know what the Bible says, and so we can be obedient. So James 4:17 says this, therefore to him that knoweth to doeth good and doeth to not, or doeth not, to him it's sin. So if we know what the Bible says, you know, there's a difference between sin and ignorance and just willful sin. And there's different punishments. There's some principles in there. This person sinned in ignorance. Yes, there's punishment, but it is not going to be as stressful or serious. This person willfully sinned. Harder punishment. And according to the Bible, talks about maybe even different levels of hell and hotness of hell. Person never heard of the gospel and they died and went to hell because they weren't saved. But if that person that heard it and rejected it and heard it and rejected it and heard it and rejected it, the Bible kind of indicates that that hell might be hotter. So we see here that disobedience hinders our prayer. We must say to our child, don't even ask me anything until you start obeying me. So it's important that we hear and know His Word and obey it so we can have our prayers answered. So number one was pride hinders our prayer. Number two, disobedience hinders our prayer. And this is the third one, and everybody knows this. And sin hinders our prayers. This is found in Psalm 66:18. Psalm 66:18 says this, if I regard iniquity, same word for sin, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I mean, black and white, plain as day, if I have sin in my heart and I don't want to get rid of it, God's not going to hear my prayer. So that's what I'm saying. When you talk to people, oh yeah, I pray to God all the time. Me and God, we're tight. We're this, and but they're living in sin. Well, this and this. Well, I know, but I've been doing that my whole life. That's just a bad habit I've got, and I've been doing. That's not an excuse. If I regard iniquity, that's what regard means. I see it, but I don't really care. That's what regard. You know, I see the sin, and I know it's a sin, but whoopee-doo. If I regard iniquity in my heart, I see it, but I don't care. I look at it almost like it's all right with favor. That's what regarding means. Yeah. I know I shouldn't, but I enjoy it, and it's okay. God will overlook it. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God's not going to hear my prayer. I see it. It's all right. I don't care. Here's another definition of regard. I respect it or reprove it. In other words, I see it, but I don't care. I look at it with a little bit of favor. It's all right. But I kind of like it. And the Bible even agrees with us. There's pleasure in sin for a season. But if we need to ask God something and we're regarding that iniquity in our heart, the Bible says, the Lord will not hear me. So we should not excuse it or defend it. We shouldn't ignore it. God says He abhors sin. So that's what we should do. We all do it like God. So if we love or cherish something that God hates, He will not hear our prayers. So number one was pride. Number two is disobedience. Number three is sin. Number four, not giving God our best. This is one of the ones I was like, never thought about that. Obviously, I've heard the pride one, I've heard the disobedient one, I've heard definitely the sin one. But in my studies, I saw this, that not giving God our best, that hinders our prayers. Malachi, this is probably why I had never seen it. Don't read a lot of Malachi, but Malachi 1:7-9, it says this, ye offer polluted bread. we're supposed to offer God a sacrifice. We're supposed to offer God, we're supposed to be a living sacrifice. So in Malachi, obviously, Malachi was saying here, you know, what you're doing is polluted. You're offering polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In other words, here's those excuses. Are you giving God your best? Is it polluted? And it says here, in that, and he's answering him, you know, how's it polluted? And he says, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. In other words, you don't get a say. God says, this is my table and this is what I want on it. Well, that's not fair. It's not contemptible. You don't get your 2 cents. God has the whole dollar. Right, he gets a say, and that's what he's saying. And then it says here, if ye offer blind for sacrifices, is it not evil? Back in the day, in Malachi's day, you were supposed to bring a spotless male lamb without any blemishes. And so there he was saying, this is how it's contemptible, this is how it's wrong. If you brought a lamb that was blind, I mean, that makes sense to me. If it's going to be killed anyway, let's go ahead and kill the blind one. Let's kill the one that's got the disease. Let's kill the one that's got mange. Let me keep my good ones. So it makes sense maybe in our minds, and this is what he's saying, that, you know, well, I think it's okay to give God that. Kind of like he says 10%. Well, I gave 3. That's okay. All right. In other words, you're supposed to keep yourself from this sin, but you know, I enjoy it a little bit. You know, it's fun. And I'll give God Sunday. It says here, if we did that, if we brought that blind sacrifice, is that not evil? And then it goes on to say, and if you offer a lame and a sick sacrifice, is it not evil? Offer it now unto the governor, and will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? In other words, if you don't pay the government, they're coming after you. They're not going to be okay with, well, I sent y'all a check for $5. That's the only taxes I can pay. I sped through the city of Taylorsville. I know it said 35, but I needed to go 75. So get over it. They're not going to accept that. And so that's what Malachi was saying here is, look, God said a male lamb without spot, without the best lamb you got. That's what we need to get sacrificed to God. And so obviously a person that's humble and genuine and wants to please God has no problem. Here's the best lamb. I picked out the best one. Here you go, God. You deserve it. I'm going to live like this. Why? Because you deserve it. I'm going to do this for you. Why? Because you deserve it. And so these guys are like, don't look, but you know, here's a little lamb that only has 3 legs. His nickname's Tripod. And so we're going to give him to God. Because he can't get around the pasture like everybody else. So, I mean, since he's going to be sacrificed anyway. So that's what I'm saying. It doesn't make sense. And so not giving God our best, it says here, it goes on to say, if you give that blind sacrifice, that lame sacrifice, will your governor accept it? And then it says here, thus, or saith the Lord of hosts, and now I pray you, beseech God, that He will be gracious unto us. This hath He, by your means, will He regard your person. So in other words, that principle there says if we don't give God our best, it could hinder our prayers. It could hinder God blessing us. So God deserves our best. He deserves without spot. He deserves without blemish. I've heard it this way. You know, God doesn't deserve leftovers or scraps. He deserves our best, and we ought to do that for Him. So anyway, the Bible also says in, I believe it's Colossians 1:18, that He might have preeminence. God wants first place. That's what preeminence means. He doesn't want leftovers. So again, if we don't give God our best, our prayers could be hindered. So we saw pride hinders our prayers. Disobedient hinders our prayers. Sin hinders our prayers. Not giving God our best hinders our prayers. And in a nutshell, just I picked one word to go along with these verses. Apathy will hinder our prayers. Apathy is kind of like I don't really care. Apathy, who cares? If we have that mindset about living the Christian life, it's called apathy. Is God pleased with you? Well, I don't know if He is or not. I don't really care. That's apathy. So James 4:3 says this, ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss. And that word amiss is kind of like apathetic, like just flinging out stuff. Oh, well, God, you can answer this if you want to, or if you don't want to, I don't really care. There's some people, I don't like when I hear people on TV, I talk to the big man upstairs. It's kind of disrespectful in my mind. He's God, Jehovah God, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, all those things, not big man upstairs. But anyway, we see here that they ask for perverted things that God's not going to bless. I really want this. And it's something that's perverted. That we ought not pray that. Things that are not good, things that are selfish in motive, things that we know God doesn't approve of, we ought not ask for those kind of things. That would definitely hinder our prayer. The Bible tells us that we ought to ask things according to His will, according to His Word, and we saw a while ago if we disobey His Word, and then also according to His work. What we want to give you our best, God. So what hinders our prayers? Pride, disobedience, sin, not giving our best to God, apathy. Next one, we got to go through these last two quickly. Wrong motives, that's kind of similar to the apathetic one. And it's actually in that same verse, in James 4:3, the second part. And it says here, that you might, you ought not ask amiss. And then it goes on to say, that you might consume it on your own lust. In other words, we ought not pray and to try to fulfill our sinful desires, our self-gratification. In other words, people that pray to be wealthy or pray to be famous or pray to be beautiful, the Bible talks about not even doing anything to your stature. Don't ask God to add one cubit. Be satisfied with what way God made you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. So asking these things, to be highly gifted in some area or to be a champion in some area, that's a wrong motive. Those type of prayers will be hindered. And lastly, I think it's last, there may be one more. Here's another place in James 1, verses 6 and 7. Being waver, I guess the Bible calls it wavering. In other words, kind of being in and out, changing. The Bible says, meddle not with those given to change. God says, I don't change. So a person that's, one minute they're right with God, and the next minute they're not. And one minute they're on fire for God, and the next minute they're not. They're wishy-washy, flip-flop, all this type of stuff. So God says, having wavering in your life will hinder your prayer. James 1, 6 and 7. But let him ask in faith. Here it is. Nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. If there's anything in your life that's wavering, church attendance, wavering. All right? Bible reading, wavering. Living like God wants you to live, wavering, in and out. It says here, when we ask, we ought to ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea that's driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. The Bible talks about that Jesus is the rock. We ought to stand firm on the rock. The Bible says, having done all to stand, stable, things like that. The Bible also talks about that if you build your life on the sand, when that storm comes, it's going to wash away. You're going to fall down. There's no strength. The Bible talks about take heed of yourself lest you let things slip. So there's the opposite. And so this is kind of like the person standing on concrete, pretty stable. A person out there standing on a surfboard, on a wave. Now some of them can kind of do it, but it's not very stable. So in order not to be wavering in our life, we have to be stable. We ought to stand by faith. We ought to let faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We have, having done all to stand. But faith and doubt is wavering. We're in, we're out, we're up, we're down, we're starting, we're stopping, all those things. Standing on the rock is way more stable than riding a wave. All right? Surfing is fine and good until you come crashing down or you break your neck or maybe you even get eaten by a shark. All those things would be negative. All right? But stable, have a stable mind. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Stable, have a stable heart. My heart is fixed, O Lord. Be stable in your ways. always respond the same way. Anyway, we see here what hinders our prayers: pride, disobedience, sin, not giving our best to God, apathy, wrong motives, and wavering. And lastly, and of course we've all heard this one, the Bible talks about in 1 Peter, and that's where we are, 1 Peter 1, or 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7. What hinders our prayers? Basically, that this whole, in context, this chapter talks about the husband and wife relationship. If that's not right, the Bible says it hinders our prayers. So Proverbs, 1 Peter 3, 1, it says there, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that ye obey not, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." Again, husband and wife relationship need to be stronger than all the other ladies, is what that verse is saying. "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold and the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart." So nothing wrong with any of the other stuff, but we ought to want to give God our best and have a good relationship with God. "In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God and of great peace. And after this manner, the old time holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters are ye, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." And here it is, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together in the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." So again, the husband and wife relationship needs to be right. That will help your prayers get answered. And you could take that to any relationship. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, "Be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down on your wrath." So again, any relationship where there's bitterness or there's hatred or there's strife can hinder our prayers. So the Bible says, "Let not the sun go down on that." Again, you don't have to, again, accept if they're doing something wrong to you. You don't have to accept that and do your part. If they won't accept it, at least you're right with God, and your prayers will not be hindered. And so obviously there was I think 9 of those hinders, things that will hinder our prayers. So anyway, Bible study on what hinders our prayers. Lots of things. So let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day, and thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for all these principles. Lord, I know that we all, obviously, including myself, battle with several of these. And if we allow the flesh and the devil to get in the way, it'll constantly be that. But Lord, I ask that you could help us, Lord, to grow in our relationship with you, Lord, so you can help us, Lord, to see these temptations, see these struggles, see these sins coming, Lord, so that we can overcome them, Lord, so that we can be right with you, Lord, and not allow any of these things to hinder our prayers. And Lord, obviously the Bible says that we're supposed to, you know, if my people, if we turn from our wicked ways, then you can heal our lands. So Lord, we can pray for our country all we want to, but if we haven't turned from those wicked ways, the Bible says that our prayers aren't heard. And so I just ask you to help, Lord, this our entire country, the entire Church of Christ, all saved people. Lord, help them to live in a way, Lord, and serve you in a way that you can hear our prayers, Lord. And so we won't be able to say, if God answers prayers, why are we in such a mess? In Jesus' name, amen.